If you take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 4, just these first few verses, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, verses 1 through 13 tonight, here in Proverbs chapter 4, I'll read out loud, you can follow along silently there in your Bibles this evening, beginning in verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain unto my words, keep my commandments and live. Now, if you were in the King's Kids program, you heard me talk to the kids about this on Sunday night, these first four verses. But I'll continue in verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So in these 13 verses, there are many interesting words. I could pick any number of them, I suppose, from this passage of Scripture. But I believe that the tone or the essence here is one that I want to highlight. And it's a word given twice in this passage. Verse 6. And once in verse 2, it says, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. In verse 6, it says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. And that word I want to take a look at, or maybe emphasize, I guess is the best way to describe it tonight, is that word forsake. It's a very popular word in the Bible. Forsake, forsaketh, forsaken. Listed dozens and dozens of times in Scripture, talking about a variety of different subject matters, that word forsake. Here, Solomon is talking about the law of God and wisdom and this understanding and instruction and these things. Those are not to be forsaken. And so that's one essence of the word forsake that the Scriptures talk about. Another one is the people of God forsaking God. Another one is God forsaking His people. Another one is for people forsaking things that they know to be true. So then there are other ideas of forsaking sin or the evil way or the wicked way or the paths of the wicked. There's that as well. So you understand that there are a lot of things. And then, of course, with human relationships, there's forsaking those types of things back and forth in that realm as well. But forsake just simply means to quit or to leave entirely, to desert, to abandon, or to depart from. It means also to renounce or reject. It also means to leave or withdraw from. That's what the word forsake can mean. So there are different meanings with this word forsake, but all of them have to do with pretty much turning your back on something or going the other direction from something or perhaps abandonment or withdrawal or rejection or renunciation, quitting. This is what this word forsake is about. Now, actually, in many ways, For the Christian can be a positive thing, and it can be a negative thing. You understand? Because we can forsake sin, and that's positive. Right? We can forsake this world, and that's positive. But we can also forsake the brethren. That's not good. We can forsake God. That's not good. We can forsake His Word. That's not good. We can forsake our families. And that's not good, right? So you understand, there are lots of things that we can forsake, and it can be positive or it can be negative. So I want to bring to light just a few examples here tonight. And I hope I can get through them all in 20 minutes. Maybe we can. Maybe 5 minutes per subject. Boy, that's going to be tough. If you're good at division, you know that's 4 subjects. Uh-huh. There you go. First of all, Psalm 89, verses 30 through 33. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. This first one, as I want to talk about, is what was given to us in Solomon's book in Proverbs, was not to forsake God's commands, his laws, his statutes. Child of God, more than ever in 2023, we must stay true to the Word of God. We must stay true to the Bible. We must read it more. We must heed it more. God's Word is paramount. If we're going to, you know, I guess I've said much about this thing about people being recovering Baptists and such and so forth. Everything that I've heard about this idea, it just more and more gets me to understand that whether the people that they're talking about, who they seem to be as abusers or people that have taken liberties and such and so forth, and I understand that happens in lots of places. But the most I take away from it is no matter if they're the offenders or the offendees, these people seem to have gotten away from one thing, and that's the Bible. Either side. The ones that are so-called recovering Baptists have turned their back on the Bible. They don't follow God's commands. Or they say, well, I was made to do this. I was made to go by this standard, and I don't want to live that way, so I'm going to call that abuse. Okay, then God's abusive. Because those are His standards. And those are His laws. And those are His statutes. It has to do with the Bible. More and more, people don't want to follow this book. Oh, gee, I think the New Testament tells us that, doesn't it? That in the days before Christ's coming, it's going to get worse. They're going to turn the truth into a lie. And they are. And you know what else is also true? Christians are going to become more and more apathetic toward this book. They're going to forsake it more and more. They're going to get away from it more and more. They're going to justify things more and more in their own reasoning. And it's going to be against what this book says. You know, I can find an excuse for almost anything. Excuses are like armpits. Everybody has two and they both stink. I'm just saying. We cannot, we must not forsake God's law, God's commandments, God's statutes, God's precepts. And no, I'm not going to re-preach Psalm 119 this evening. And all the people said. Proverbs chapter 2. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Does that not describe our world today? Who are people who are forsaking and forgetting God in His Word and His commands. They're making exception. They say, well, it's accepted in society. Well, I don't really care if it's accepted in society. I don't really care if it's the new thing. I'm not up for the new thing. I want the old thing. I tell people all the time, I'm a pastor. I'm 45 years old. I'm, if you will, a young man, but I'm old school. I'm a Bible-believing Baptist from the bottom of my foot to the top of my bald head. I mean, that's a lot of space there. You know, because it's about this book. It's not about my relationship with the name Baptist or with this church or that church or anything. It's about this book. And so far, to date, our type of churches are the closest to what this book says we should be. And so for the time being and the duration, that's what I'm going to be. Because it's not about independent Baptists. It's about the Word of God. So we've got to understand that we cannot, we must not leave, quit, desert, abandon, depart from, renounce, reject God's Word. We must not. Psalm 119 verse 8 says, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. David said, hey, God, I'm going to keep your statutes, so don't turn away from me. Don't leave me. Don't withdraw from me, because I'm going to stay here. So stay with me, God. In Psalm 119, verses 49 through 56 says, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision. Yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night. I have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. That should be our attitude. Horror should overtake us because the wicked have forsaken the law of God. In Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Folks, listen to me. Is the rhetoric of this world enticing? Sure it is. Otherwise, people wouldn't follow it. It's very enticing. But we must stay true to the Word of God. Don't, if they entice you, consent thou not. Don't go that way. Don't go that direction. Stay with the Word of God. Do not forsake it. Do not abandon it. Do not depart from it. Do not quit it or leave it entirely. Do not reject it. Do not renounce it. Do not withdraw from it. Stay true to it. Do not forsake the Word of God. Proverbs 28, Solomon writes, they that forsake thy law praise the wicked. But such as keep the law, contend with them. Ooh, I like this one. If you forsake the Word of God, you are bringing praise to those that forsake the Word of God. You understand? You're siding with them. You're lifting them up. You're giving them the glory and the honor and the praise. And if you're not like that, if you're going to stay true to the Word of God and not forsake it, you're going to contend with the wicked. Last I checked, we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to open our mouth. We're supposed to be the redeemed of the Lord, and we're supposed to say so. And you know what? They can call you a hate monger. They can call you whatever they want to call you. Thus saith the word of the Lord. That's what we got to stick to. And we don't have to apologize for it. Isn't it? I don't hate these people that are coming up with these agendas, but I'm going to contend with them. I could try to do it as nicely and as tactfully as possible. And guess what? This is not my opinion I'm fighting about. It's about the Word of God. It's about the things of God. And I can truthfully, and I can look them in the eye and say, it's not me saying these things are bad. It's God saying these things are bad. I'm just repeating what He said. I'm not making this up. Our church is not making this up. We're not fabricating this out of thin air. This is what the Word of God says. And that's why I think it's wrong. Not because I don't like you, or not because I don't like this, or not because I don't like that, or not because you look funny or smell funny or anything like that. It's because the Bible says this is this and that is that. That's contending. And that's someone who does not forsake God's law, God's commands, and God's statutes. 1.9 minutes. That's not good. Joshua 24. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all in the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God, and He is a jealous God. And He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey. So not only don't forsake God and His statutes, judgments, commands, and His word, but don't forsake Him. Don't turn your back on God. You know, there are difficult things that happen in people's lives, and I'm not going to blame anybody or put judgment upon anyone. But there are times where tragedy strikes, and people turn their back on God. Again, I hope that I wouldn't make that choice if that time comes for me. Because God is true. God is faithful. And He knows the deepest, darkest things. He knows why things happen. He is there for us. He is true. He is God. So folks, don't forsake Him in your dark times. And then let me say, don't forsake Him in your bright times. Sometimes we forsake God, may I say, with maybe a hashtag or something, is that modern? Unintentionally. Just because things are good. And guess what? We kind of forget God. Think about this. You know, while the butler was in prison, he was needy. You understand that? He was needy. And he went to Joseph, or he heard Joseph talking, somehow they got connected. And he's like, hey, I can tell you your dreams. My God can give you the answer. And he got the answer. And guess what? He was restored to his position. Things were good. And what happened? Forgot about Joseph. For 2 years. Folks, we pray. Maybe we're in a difficult time. Maybe the finances are tight, or we don't have a job, or thing, the devil's after us, or just things aren't working out, or maybe there's physical situations or social situations in our lives, and we're on our knees constantly begging God and asking God to deliver us. And when deliverance comes, and that paycheck comes in, and the health problem goes away, and these things are resolved, and things are going well, we pray less, we fellowship with Him less, and less, and less, and less. We forsake Him. Like I said, unintentionally. We don't intend to do it. We're not throwing our fist up in the air and saying, God, I hate you. I'm turning my back on you. Not like that. But we just kind of ease off into the sunset and forget about God. Honestly, is there a difference in forsaking Him negatively or forsaking Him positively? You understand? This end result is the same. We still forsake God. And we ought not to do that. In Judges, the account is that ye have forsaken me and served other gods. God says this, wherefore I will deliver you no more. And I love what, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, you are not reading your Bible. Listen to this. God says this. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. That's what God said. He said, I'm not delivering you anymore. You're on this roller coaster, up and down, back to me, away from me, back to me, away from me, back to me, away from me, back to me, away from me. He says, forget it. I'm not going to deliver you anymore. Go and cry unto those little carved images and graven images and stone figures, and let them deliver you this time because I'm on vacation. But I do like the response of the people. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Oh, guess what? It gets better. This tells you that they're really honest about it. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. God will take the punishment, whatever it is. Only, or deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. God, we're willing to cash the check, pay the bill. We are going to turn from those other gods. And it doesn't matter what you do to us, just deliver us from this difficult time. And we're going to turn over a new leaf. No, that's great. But can I tell you something? It's better not to have forsaken God in the first place. There are many other passages of Scripture we can go through here. But you understand that the point of this is, don't forsake God's Word and don't forsake God Himself. You understand that Jesus spoke some difficult sayings to His disciples? One of those was in Luke chapter 14. In the beginning of this conversation, there were great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them, if any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You understand, Jesus is speaking of the magnitude of what it means to follow Christ. And at the end, He says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You know, how many times does God tell us that we have to do something toward Him with our whole heart, soul, mind, body, strength, etc., etc.? Or that little word that I love so much, all. Isn't that the requirement? God says, don't forsake me. That's better. That only took 7 minutes. Now, if you're good at addition, you know that I'm running out of time. The third one is something that we should forsake. The first two were forsake nots. This is a forsake. Forsake sin. You know, sin is that thing. I may preach this message sometime. I think I may have the notes handwritten somewhere on some kind of a napkin somewhere. Goodness, my kids probably don't even remember this because I don't think they were in school yet. One of the first few years that I was principal at Trinity. And I talked about pet sins. We have these pet sins. And I started out with a little hose in my pocket. And I called it my pet sin. It was just a little hose, rubber hose. And then in the closet next to where I was preaching, I had several other larger hoses. And I got all the way up to the big, 14-inch air conditioning ductwork. And I talked about how this pet sin grew and grew and grew and grew and grew, and suddenly it's this huge thing that's just so cumbersome and just smothering me, right, in my life. Well, that's what sin does. In Proverbs 28, it says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and what? Forsaketh them shall have mercy." So as we're talking about this word, we do need to quit our sin. Quit. Just quit. Hey, guess what? We don't even need a 7-step program. We don't need a support group. God says we can just quit it cold turkey. Yeah. Just quit. When I was in high school, it was the height of the Just Say No program for drugs. Just say no. The devil comes to tempt you? No, thank you. Well, you don't have to be polite about it. No! I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that against my God. My daughter Anna is writing a paper about Joseph in his life there in the book of Genesis. Guess what Joseph learned to do? No! he even left his coat. He had to get out of there so fast. What are you willing to leave behind to just say no to sin? Quit. Leave entirely. Sin? I'm not coming back. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not even going back there anymore. I'm going to desert you, sin. I'm going to leave you there. And I'm going to go forward for God. I'm going to abandon you, sin. I'm going to depart from you, sin. You're going to be there. I'm going to be over here. I'm going to forsake sin. I'm going to renounce it. I'm going to reject it. I'm going to be like Job, who was a righteous man who feared God and did what? Eschew. Ooh, that's a good word. That's a great word. You need to look that one up. It's more than just rejecting. It's like rejecting with vengeance. It's like super rejection. It's like, it's fantastic. We need to eschew sin. We need to leave it, reject it, withdraw from it. You know what the Bible tells us about our sin and sin in general in Christ? We are dead. Dead. I've got to flip my paper over. There it is. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Good question. We as Christians must forsake sin. Get it out of your life. Leave it behind. You understand that God wants us not to be like the dog. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Folks, we're no longer fools. We're wise in Christ. We're supposed to get wisdom, right? It's the principal thing. We heard Solomon say that in our text. Listen, we're supposed to not forget it. We're supposed to keep it. We're not supposed to go back to the sin. We're supposed to stay true to the law, not forsaking God and His commandments and His statutes and His precepts, not forsaking God Himself, but obeying His voice and following His voice. Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world. In 1 John, John writes and says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We need to forsake sin. It took too long. Now, the one that I want to get to is there are times where God will forsake us. He'll depart from us, but it's going to be because we have turned from Him. But you know what was true about God? He'll come back to us if we'll come back to Him. In 2 Chronicles, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Remember what Nehemiah told God? God, you said you'd bring judgment, and you did. But God, you said that if we turned from our sin and turned back to you, that you'd deliver us, and you will. How many times did David pray, God, forsake me not? Folks, we need to beg God not to forsake us. Jesus Christ promised to be with us. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Remember what God said? He said, hey, I've passed judgment, but now I'm going to restore them. That's God's way. He's going to be a righteous judge. He's going to be true. Jesus Christ told his disciples, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's given us the Comforter, which shall never leave us. You understand that God wants to have fellowship with us? We're the ones that break the fellowship. And when we come back to Him, He will gladly restore that fellowship. This word forsake is a very interesting word. I hope you've enjoyed the points tonight about forsaking not God's commands and forsaking not God and forsaking sin. But I hope most of all, that these highlights have brought you to a better realization of this word forsake and its importance in your life this 2023.